Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks. It's 11:24.
Good morning, David. I don't have much time to speak to you. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I am doing pretty well.
Yes, please.
I would like to know what this government intends to do with these two publishing companies that had no right to print a story about events that had happened in Barbados without consulting with our police and fire department. I don't know how media practitioners get away with this kind of stuff. It's done in Barbados too. I don't know why this government does not sue them for what they did to this country's reputation.
And you're speaking about this case with the woman who
Yeah, the tragic event that occurred. It's okay for people to gossip and come to certain conclusions if they don't have information to back up their stories, but not for a reputable publishing company. This is this should not be tolerated in this country. You know, we're more than an economy. We're a society, too.
Well, one of the most effective ways that a government or any other entity has in trying to counter poor journalistic work is by telling the truth. And, I mean, in many instances, media houses that are guilty of carrying misinformation don't necessarily showcase that information in the same way that they put out the original.
But they should have to make a retraction.
But there are other media houses that will do so. And that way you're still able to say, well, it is not so. What the police said yesterday was significant. They said that there was all this surveillance and nobody else was in the place. And basically they suggested that there was some fire that might have occurred accidentally. That's what the evidence is pointing to. And once that is done, then, you know, the media house that goes in the direction of saying something else will have to grapple with how that impacts on its credibility. But when you say one thing, you have to say another. I mean,
what's that?
That's in relation to this one. But have you listened to the BBC? They just did a documentary on Anguilla, on Barbuda, and what has happened in Barbuda since the passage of the hurricane there. I thought it was balanced because it gave the government of Antigua a chance to speak, but it was, to my mind, it was a piece of journalism that was worth hearing. And when I listened to it, I said, you know, it is so unfortunate that the Caribbean is in such a state right now that we have to depend upon BBC and those people to come into our land to identify some of our challenges and our weaknesses. And Caribbean media houses have become so insular that, you know,
But you know why?
Well, it's all about the dollar. It's all about the dollar. You know that.
It's not only the dollar. The government, and I should say certain people within the government, mm-hmm. have threatened our very, very good investigative reporters in this country. And a lot of times when they should speak out, write out, and tell it like it is, they are prohibited from doing so.
Well, I don't know let me say to you that I have been around.
And you know it.
I've been around. Let me speak for myself, because I've been around long enough. And I don't know about these threats that can be so effective in stopping media houses and journalists from doing that kind of work. I think that there are other factors that have influenced it more than the threats that come from government, because strong media people get stronger in the face of threats. So I don't know that you are correct in saying that.
Not in this little old island. I mean, we have 300,000 people. Not in this island. Where else are you going to seek a job
as a
media practitioner?
But you know, the point I'm making to you is it is not isolated to Barbados. It is to say to you that, for instance, across the region, we all face problems. And every Caribbean country, you can go into it and you can see issues that we can identify with in Barbados, or we can identify with those issues in Jamaica or in Trinidad. And we are at the point where, for all that has happened over the years, that all the development that we have had in technology and those things, I'm sure that some of my older colleagues would agree that when we had less available to us, the region did better work in covering the Caribbean in that regard than is being done now. I mean, and I'm speaking about that region-wide. Now, what happens is that you get a lot of focus on what happens in one country. So you will get awards for people who do work in their own country. But it is the cross-border, and that's why the cross-border effort. So I'm just saying to you that there are two sides to the coin. There is the person, the media house that comes in from outside and does the kind of work that you've been critical of. And then there's the media house that comes in from outside and also does commendable work. We ourselves are not doing.
They make sure they're very careful not to damage anybody's reputation in this country, even if it needs to be soiled. That is a fact.
But you see, while you say that, I refer to comments that have been made in the House of Commons, very scathing comments about Barbados. I refer that comments have also been made in some documentary done by ITV or one of those in the United Kingdom. Nothing, Barbados says nothing about those things. And when you're silent, it makes it seem as though it's true. So you identify the one that you consider to be negative and that Barbados should be making a case against the media houses on that score. But I say to you, there's more to it than that. There are other things that are harmful to our image, and we are not making any noise about those things.
Now I want to talk about Rock Hall for a minute. I have one question. I would like to know where these people are getting their essential services from. Do they have lights in their houses? Do they have water pipes? Do they have cable TV, Flow? Where are they getting? Where's their source of energy coming from?
Well, I suppose the source of energy would most likely be the light and power company. I don't believe that they're generating their own energy.
Does the lot have to apply for that electricity?
Yeah, but I can't answer for the light and power company. I don't know.
What about the water company? Can you answer for them?
No, I can't answer for any of them.
Oh. Because I thought that in order to get any essential services, the landlord is the one that applies.
Well, for whatever reason, they might have been satisfied that the people who were applying met the criteria that was laid down.
Well, I disagree with one of your previous callers. You just don't go and bulldoze people off their houses. I mean, you know, I'm more humane than that. That would be inhumane and unusual punishment for anyone in this day and age.
Okay.
No, we have to find alternative measures and really quick.
So on this matter that you raised, somebody says here, there was no gossip involved in that case in Sargent's Village, where the newspapers are concerned. There is actually a video which I saw where a lady is screaming in pain and making those exact statements. She said that a gentleman had broken into the house, had choked her, had thrown some fuel on her, and then set her alight. So the newspapers are reporting only what was said directly by the unfortunate victim.
No. They have forensic evidence to back up what they said, and I'm going to take that as credible information. You know, and the police are not my favorite people because they still have a case to deal with me that goes back 12 years, and they've been giving me the runaround about this case to the point that I just feel like dropping charges.
Well, you got another person here who says, I agree with Ms. B. the investigation is still ongoing, and the retraction should be demanded until further reports from our police department with an apology. So you have those different views on this matter.
Well,
I can only give you
what is there. I find it very damaging to Barbados, and it's unfair. It's unfair information. It's false information.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very irate about that.
It's one thing
to go down in on Swan Street and hear gossip about a certain event. That's one thing. But when the police come out with a statement yesterday giving the reasons why they ruled out a homicide.
But this person, this other person says, you know, Ms. P, that why did the police have to wait until the UK newspaper published the info? Why is it
that
they didn't give that information before?
They had to conclude their investigation and rule out homicide.
But the investigation is not concluded?
Well, I think that CT, and that's another thing is, we have recordings all over Barbados that are surveying our people.
Well, I don't know that it speaks to recordings all over the place. I think what you have to take into consideration is that they were talking about surveillance on the property.
Yes.
On that property.
On a neighbor's property.
Okay, so, but that doesn't mean that it is all over the place. I mean, I would encourage as many people in Barbados to have surveillance cameras around their properties
definitely.
And stuff like that.
Especially for the fruit trees. Yeah,
not definitely. Just that. Not just that. You know how many instances you have situations where the police have been able to solve certain crimes because they can actually access the information coming from the surveillance cameras of neighbors and that sort of thing. And increasingly, you need more and more of that to solve some of the crimes that are committed around here.
Well, David, I enjoy this interaction with you because usually, you know, I just come on, say what I've got to say, and I'm gone. But I enjoyed the interaction.
Okay, so did I. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
And how are you?
I am well.
Now, I don't want to comment so much on the squad, but I just want to make 2 points. One is on the corner of Fairfield and Grisettes, and I would like Mr. Mark Williams, who knows the area very, very well, to come and say if this is true or false. There is a building on a dump which used to be a quarry. I don't know who gives permission, but I talked about this before, but I haven't heard anything else about it. The next one I'm going to comment on, the British lady who is of, I think, Barbadian parentage and the fire and so on and so forth here, and all the things they had to say in England about us, more or less, don't go down there. Anything and everything can happen to you down there. But 2 years ago, there was a 17-story housing project. There, a fire took place on the 6th floor. Hundreds of people lost their lives and were damaged permanently. And it was this apartment, 17 floors. I don't remember how many apartments were on each floor. And you know, it started on the 6th floor. And after the investigation, they found out that there were no smoke detectors, no the fire extinguishers. Tell them, you know, it's like there are a lot of people from Barbados who would have been living in there, but they just tried to make everything look like Barbados, don't go down there. I'm sorry about the how it happened, but don't go down there. You can get burned and you can get sick, and this can happen, and you can drown, and all these things can happen. But, you know, thanks a lot, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you very much. I'm really impressed by how selective you are about the things that are dangerous to the image of Barbados. who the cow likes, he licks, and who he don't like, he kicks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. On this question of agencies, government agencies appearing not to do their jobs in preventing things like the evolution of what we've seen here at Rock Hall, this person says that it is easy to blame the agencies, but on occasions, you have the agencies seeking to do their jobs, but this is a system in which ministers can actually overrule the officials in the ministries. And they point to various scenarios over the years where, in their judgment, this is exactly the way that it has turned out. And that is not far-fetched, because ours is a system where ministers are quick to remind public officials and others that nobody can vote for them. They voted for the politicians. And almost every decision, the law is structured in such a way that on many, many occasions, the final word rests with a minister of government. So I take that point. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good morning, sir.
Yes, welcome.
Mitchell, I'm back up again with you, the guy who would have originated this whole thing, with this whole Rock Hall situation, as I was the director of civil aviation back. There's a lot of information out there that is totally incorrect, and I think that in the discussions, we should have correct information to the public. One, the land. That land belonged to Spencer's originally, vested in Paragon Holdings. And that was part of the Paragon project with the High Altitude Research Project, or HARP, under the arrangement that Barbados had then with HARP and Space Research Corporation. That's number one. Number two, when that project concluded, the land at Paragon went to the Barbados Defense Force, but the one at Spencer's, where we had the tracking radar, did not go back to Spencer's. As a result, people started to do some metal dumping in that that site, and it caused some problems for the equipment that we had on the airport. Not the radar yet. We have not gotten to the radar.
So it didn't go back to Spencer's. Where was it?
It was left there hanging. That's the problem. Because if you go back and do a search now, you will see that that land may still be vested in Paragon Holdings. Now, what happened is that we had some metal dump in there, and when we had our navigation systems, like check, it caused a lot of scalloping on the radio signal. So we had to fill that area. Then the dump started, and people were dumping in it. So we had then to complete
But when did this start to happen? When did the HARP project end?
The HARP project ended around the late 60s, early 70s. That is when that ended. And Barbados started their radar coverage in 1970, to be exact. And this is where we went into an arrangement with SRC to provide Barbados with the necessary radar equipment, maintain the equipment, all the necessary technical work that was done in the control tower, as is now, was done by Space Research Corporation way back then. And that's the type of arrangement that we had.
The same Space Research Corporation that was involved in the HARP project?
Exactly. The HARP project came out of Space Research Corporation because Space Research Corporation is a company.
Yes.
And the project was called the HARP project because it's the High Altitude Research Project with McGill University in Canada.
But this, remember, this was also linked to the super gun that the Iraqis...
Exactly.
Eventually developed.
That would shoot the projectile in the air to do the necessary research. That is what was happening. And the radar would track that projectile that was right there where we call now the dump, or where the development has taken place. So we must understand, because I've heard people say that the land belongs to private entity. Not true. That land is part of Spencer's. But what has happened is that Spencer's has been vested to GIA, and that section has not been vested. And I think that is what the government needs to do. However, I do not think it fair that the government can vest that section, the GLA, with all those houses there. Now, that is one aspect of it. I heard a discussion this morning as it relates to people living on the dump and the problem it really poses for these people. But there are problems. It is impacting the airport. Now, when I started with it, they only had six people living there, six residences on the site. And it created a significant impact on the radar. Now, we had all sorts of problems to get the people from there working with the chief town planner, because it is a prohibited area. People are not supposed to live there. They're living too close to the airport. That's the first thing. Now, we did not get them off, and that whole development mushroomed.
Why was it so difficult to get six people off of it?
I can only make my recommendations. The chief town planner had given them enforcement notices, and it was left then to National Housing, who would have to get the people off, and the Ministry of Communication and Works and so on, that aspect of it.
Approximately how many people live there now?
Well, from what I'm hearing in the press, I understood that about over 300, because up to last year, when I made some comments on it, there were about 156 homes on it. But the other things that I wanted to mention to you is that the metal from the houses and so on created significant problems for the effective functioning of the radar. We went to the manufacturers of the radar, and we could not work the radar with the houses there as is, and we had patches put into the radar to take out that area from being processed and create difficulties for the air traffic
control. But doesn't this have implications for our certification? And
well, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that now. Because the airport must fall into international standards in terms of its development. And right now we are looking to do further development on the airport. Those houses are in the clear area, and they cannot remain there. You cannot clear the whole time bottom area and all of those houses that were down there and now come in and develop one to the other end of the runway. So that is one part. They are in the clear area. But the second, the other part of it is that the houses are too close to the airport's operation, and they have to move because the airport would not be falling into the standards. Now, what would happen is that the International Civil Aviation Organization, one of the field officers, they will come down and they are going to carry out a survey, an audit on Barbados. And they would show Barbados as having a deficiency in terms of those houses and their relationship.
This is shocking stuff, though. Honestly, I mean, I can't believe that a country like ours that brags and boasts about how developed it is and stuff like that could sit down and just allow a problem of this magnitude to mushroom like this for so many years. This is disgusting.
We're talking of good many years. And let me just go on and clear up some, give you some additional information. Now, when we have these deficiencies, the International Civil Aviation Organization, which is the United Nations, will not tell anybody anything about Barbados other than that Barbados has a deficiency. In other words, they are not meeting the standards. They are not going to tell any carrier coming into Barbados anything about what is happening. They will tell them they got this deficiency, and this is what the deficiency is. The International Air Transport Authority, IATA.
Now, you got to explain for me, how is it that we have been able to escape that kind of scrutiny for so many years?
Because what when they
and why should we take that seriously now?
When they send and tell us that we have a deficiency, which they will publish the deficiency, we would explain to them that we are working on these problems, and we expect by some time to have them rectified. Sometimes they
is
know
this
that
what we promise them year after year?
Yes, that can easily happen. However, IATA, on the other hand, when they look at these deficiencies, they can determine that the particular airport is unsafe to operate. And the follow from that is that IATA will ask its carriers, which will be carriers like Air Canada, British Airways, American, those carriers, because I know that Liat is not.
But your point, my point to you, but my point to you is this: that for several years that deficiency has been there and has grown, and IATA has done no such thing, which means
they haven't, because Barbados has been working on it. Now, you must recall some. No. Let me explain.
Let me hear how Barbados has worked on it.
There was a time that the indication was that there was a site identified in the Oldbury area to recite those persons. So they know that Barbados is taking action. The problem is that we drag our foot on things, and that has not occurred. But there's also a security aspect of it. Because of the close proximity of that development to aircraft departing, or even landing, if they're landing in the reverse direction, which we call the 270 direction.
Look, we got to go to the news, right? I want you to come back to me immediately after the news so that we can explore this a little further. Because
I can hold for you.
I am just amused and perhaps confused, too, about how IATA, according to you, could sit down and let Barbados mama guide them for so long. Anyhow, we'll come back and talk about it. We were talking with Mitchinson Beckles, who has been, he's a former civil aviation official in Barbados, and looking at what's been happening here at Rock Hall in St. Philip, making the observation that over the years, the squatter problem there has grown. It is a threat to civil aviation in Barbados, and we are running the risk of having IATA cite us if we do not move these people from that particular area. Mr. Beckles, are you still here?
Very much so, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. So you were saying?
Yeah, I was saying that IATA does not take such drastic action unless it is, that's the last resort, really. Because if the country is not working on the problem, then they are forced to do things like this. Barbados is working on the problem. We have been working on the problem. The problem was not just the Rock Hall area. It was also the Time Bottom area. And I'm certain that you are aware of the number of structures that were removed from that area. And that project has not concluded.
Time Bottom is the approach to the airport, to the runway?
Yes.
Because I remember years ago when... under the Barbados Labour Party administration, it was decided that those people had to be moved. And one of the prominent people there who was affected was Kamau Brathwaite, who lived at Cowpasture.
Exactly. And the road that passes just to the west of the runway, that road is to be closed, and the road will be diverted through Parish Land, Time Bottom Parish Land, and you come right around, and then you come up Wilcox, and turn by the to go up by the in front of the Nazarene Church. All those properties were supposed to be acquired, and the airport fence was to be extended and close those roads.
Well, this is all part of the Beijing.
And we have not concluded that project up to now.
Why is that?
The Rock Hall project, I don't know why. The Ministry of Housing is working on a number of these things, and the Rock Hall project is part of the whole program to clear up there as well, because these things create a security problem. That is that the aircraft are too close to civilization at their most critical stages of flight. There is, in terrorism, something called a MANPADS, MANPADS. It is Man Portable Air Defense System. Now, that's what we call it in aviation and aviation security. You may know it as a person carrying a rocket-propelled grenade on the back with something like a big rifle. That is what that is. And these people can hit an aircraft at these low altitudes and take it down out the sky. So that is why these establishments or these developments are not to be that close to the operation of aircraft.
So you mean to tell me that the officials in Barbados, the politicians and ministers of government, were totally oblivious to this? I mean, they are the ones that we depend upon to enforce these things. So what went wrong? Ultimately, the responsibility rests with the government, the ministers. They are the ones who are expected to act.
Mr. Ellis, I would like to say to you that we do not have a lot of people in our political circles that are trained in aviation. And you will find that a lot of our debates, when they are aviation related, are centered around airlift of passengers and wooing carriers into Barbados. But the real nitty-gritty of aviation is not discussed because they are not aware. And the persons in aviation in Barbados, like myself and other colleagues of mine, are not really consulted on aviation matters. So a lot of the decisions are made outside of real aviators, because a lot of people think that an airport is a hotel. An airport is not a hotel. An airport development operation must fit within the standards set by the International Civil Aviation Organization, which is the United Nations. So it's not a hotel that you could just say, well, Barbados can't afford this. We must fit into those standards. And if we do not fit into those standards, we will find that a deficiency will be filed. And the Rock Hall area is too close to the operation of aircraft taking off, where a person with a man pad can take an aircraft out the skies. That is a fact of life. And these are not things that I like saying I should be saying. I don't normally come on the air and say these things because I don't even want to whip up anybody's imagination to try these things.
But we are
a security person.
We are in a world where we have seen a lot change. And I really thank you very much for coming and helping the public to understand the significance of trying to address this problem. People like you, you're not in Parliament, and you may not be called to a select committee of Parliament to discuss a matter such as this. But the public of Barbados is certainly indebted to those of you who are trained in these areas to help us understand the significance. There is no way of escaping this, because tomorrow, in the diplomatic cut and thrust that takes place, we could wake up tomorrow morning and have the Trump administration use that as one of the reasons why they have to put curbs on the movement of planes from the United States to Barbados.
And that is very, very true what you have just said, because basically we know that a lot of this terrorism targeted U.S. Carriers, American Airlines and JetBlue and these people. And obviously we have to ensure that we have a safe environment. And the Transport Security Agency, TSA, they come to Barbados, obviously, and they do their audits on Barbados as well. These are things that you all would not know. And these are deficiencies that they highlight. And the Director of Civil Aviation has to assure these people that these matters are being addressed. But the problem that we have is that the persons in the political circles don't understand these matters. So as a result, these things are just pushed aside and they are not properly addressed in the degree of...
But I expect that if a person is sitting... If you're sitting as an advisor, a technical advisor to a minister, all that information is put before the minister. I don't believe that they are totally ignorant of what is going on. They must know. But you see, if you discuss aviation only in the context of tourism arrivals and departures, that's popular because you're looking at the idea of trying to boost tourism and that sort of thing. But you are exposed on the other flank. And we, the members of the public, also need to be aware of those things. So a forum such as this and the role that you are playing today is crucial in helping the rest of Barbados to understand why you should not be squatting there.
One other thing I would tell you, when we go to carriers and ask them to assist us with airlift and bring in passengers into Barbados, many people not know. But before that carrier comes to Barbados, they are going to do their own audit on Barbados to ensure that Barbados is safe for them to operate their aircraft into. And they come and they do extensive research on what is happening in Barbados. They come down, they do their inspections and all such like. So it's not just we want such and such a carrier, like corporate, to come into Barbados and bring people from somewhere. It does not just work like that. There is a serious aviation aspect involved in that carrier coming to Barbados, because they want to be certain that their aircraft and passengers are safe coming in, and that our environment is safe for that aircraft to operate. Notwithstanding that Barbados has the infrastructure to facilitate the safe operation of that type of aircraft either. So there are a number of issues, aviation issues, that many people do not understand that occur when we are talking about airlift.
Well,
and the development of the airport, people must understand that it is okay for Barbados to want to develop and expand this airport, but it must be developed and expanded within the standards set by the International Civil Aviation Organization. And in many countries, you find that an airport, most airports were developed in remote areas. But as soon as you set an airport down, everybody wants to come and develop around the airport. Then they complain that the airport operation is affecting them. These are things. So therefore, you have to control development. If you, tomorrow morning, Mr. Ellis, if you so desire, you could go into the Barbados physical development plan and look, and you are going to see the conditionalities there clearly established as to how development will take place on and within the environs of Grantley Adams International Airport. They are there. The problem is that people doing their own thing, they don't listen to Tongue Planet, they don't go to Tongue Planet. And the other problem is that the Tongue Planet Department does not have enough staff to do policing of all these things. So they have to depend a lot on people like us to come and tell them, look, this is happening, this is occurring, because they don't have people going around doing policing.
Let me ask you this question, therefore. Is there a role for more people like you who have been specialists in these areas to be in an advisory capacity, a kind of informal advisory capacity to government in areas like this? What could we do to make sure that we don't miss out on this kind of information?
Mr. Ellis, when I retired from the public service, you could look into the Challenge magazine, because they had a big feature on me in that magazine. I have given the government the assurance and the commitment, free of cost, that I would render them any information. I've been retired from the airport now for some 5 years, and I have only had basically one contact with one government official on aviation matters. And I mean, there's one that I'm going to raise with you soon from now as it relates to the air passenger duty, because the government needs to look back at the air passenger duty come 2020. Because I personally went to the United Nations and had the climate change resolution adjusted so as to facilitate the air passenger duty removal, because the air passenger duty cannot be imposed unless there is a facility to allow it or to happen, or some foundation. And the air passenger duty is based basically on climate change and the emission of CO2 gases. And there is the amendment that I insisted that went in there was that the small countries, which we call the de minimis policy, small countries like Barbados, does not generate enough activity for us to be worried and talking about emission of gases with aircraft coming into Barbados. I mean, let me explain to you what I'm saying. The de minimis policy says that if the operation at an airport is below a threshold, then that airport will not pay any charges. And I say that to say this. John F. Kennedy Airport is 166 square miles. You hear what I said? John F. Kennedy Airport is 166 square miles. Same size as Barbados. Do you expect the activity at Grantley Adams in a little corner of Barbados of that 166 to be like that at John F. Kennedy? So if John F. Kennedy is paying charges, why should Barbados pay? We do not have that type of operation. And I invite, I spoke to the people at Tourism on this when I came back from General Assembly, and up until today, none of them have engaged me in
anything. Well, this is what I would suggest to you.